Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Is today the first day of spring?
Yep. Or was it yesterday? Today, I think.
Well, you sure wouldn't think so. Look it outside here.
Turn your lights on!
Can you remind people to turn their lights
on?
Turn
their lights on. It's dangerous out there.
And you know what they say about Calgary. If you don't like the weather, you just wait 5 minutes. A little bit of snow, everyone forgets how to drive out there.
Yeah, yeah. And just a little bit of snow. Is it your first time in new tires? Or
the roads were dog shit this morning.
They were bad.
I had a hairy drive into work, and it's not supposed to get nice again for like a week.
No. It's funny because sometimes when it snows, when it's not like this, like this is the icy, slushy stuff that drags your car. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the time when we wake up in the morning, I get first tracks on fresh snow, and I love that.
Me too. I'll do extra laps around my crest just so I can drift it. It's so much
fun. This morning was not like that. This morning, the minute I drove out, it was already the slushy, nasty, like crusty stuff. And you're like, ooh.
Did you see, though, I did twist a few nuts when I got to the parking lot.
I did, yeah.
Did you see me twisting nuts this morning?
I did see you twist a few nuts. I was going to twist a few nuts, and then I forgot. I got distracted. Stupid. Now I'm mad about it. I'm going to go and twist a few nuts. Actually, it's nice because I always wear my condo overlooks. It overlooks Stampede Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And people take those parking lots, and that's prime twisted nuts territory.
You know what you should see if you could do?
Yeah.
You should see if you could lay down some sort of image or message in the snow.
And then so I could see it.
Take a photo of it from your condo. That'd be a viral post. If you could do like a wiener or something, be like, I did that.
I might be going straight there and trying to do a wiener in the snow.
Did I just plan the rest of your day for you?
I think you probably did. I'm going to be twisting nuts and writing wieners in the snow. So it sounds like a good productive day.
On today's show, a heritage moment because it is Wednesday. We're going to talk about a funny vehicle I saw at a student parking lot. A type of snobs. A lot of travelers who go to India have bad bum. And India knows this and they're prepared for it. This story is hilarious. We're going to talk about de-escalation techniques. A new game I like to play when killing time in public. A Calgary citizenship test. How Calgarian are you, or how well do you know the city? Country music is doing something new now. I don't think I'm crazy about it, but we took a stab at it. We'll talk about locks on bedroom doors and something that happened to me at home just recently after your out-of-context clip.
But I'm a Jeep.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I forgot to tell you, Shauna, that before I left on vacation last week, I accidentally left both of our vehicles unlocked on the driveway overnight.
Oh, not one, but two of them,
both
eh?
Both of them.
Okay.
And so, I had a lot going on.
Yeah,
and someone went through both vehicles and rifled through them and some greasy skid. Stole, not much. I had a really nice bushcraft knife that a friend had given me, and they stole that. That was the worst thing that I lost. But
didn't you have a knife stolen from a vehicle once before?
Yeah, down here, actually, where I parked just a few weeks ago.
Maybe you should just stop leaving knives in your vehicles.
I have no knives left.
Okay, well.
I had three knives.
I mean,
now
maybe we've learned our lesson.
Knives.
Okay.
Stop getting knives stolen out of my vehicle.
Yeah, stop getting knives and then putting them in your vehicle and leaving your vehicle unlocked. Really.
I'm also in the market for a cool new knife now, so I got to go. Got to have a good knife, right?
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so Sam was in here working on a Saturday. And somebody messaged the station and said, hey, I just found like an X name tag with Beckler's name on it. I was out walking my dog and found this in an alley. And that was also stolen from my vehicle. We have these like lanyards with our names on them when we do events.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that in my glove box and someone
took that
and then ditched it in an alley near my house.
Weird.
So I said to Sam, I was like, ask them for the coordinates of where maybe I could like get on the trail and find out where they went.
Oh, wow.
And sure enough, no, I didn't find that or anything else. I recovered none of it, but,
I mean,
I was close.
I guess,
I was a bloodhound. I was sniffing around. I was like, okay, if the name badge was here, then maybe they went this way. And then maybe, and I went that way, and it's like, maybe I'll recover some things. No, I recovered nothing.
Sherlock Beckler over there. I tried it out, but it didn't work out so well.
I had my
deer
stalker hat on.
Yeah, you sure did. Did you have a giant magnifying glass as well? Where is this?
A clue. Look, a clue.
What's maybe the dog's name?
The dog?
Is there a dog? No.
No, you're thinking of McGruff the crime
Sorry,
dog.
Sorry, that's the other one. Okay, one of the two.
Call him McGruff. He'll take a bite out
Sick
of crime.
Sick him.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Did you have a lock on your bedroom door growing up, Beckler?
I did not.
Okay.
I did. Actually, you know what? When I got a little older, maybe I did because my bedroom was in the basement when I was a teenager.
Right.
And you had to go through the bathroom to get to the bedroom. It was an odd layout.
Okay.
So the bathroom door had a lock.
I always find it's a very polarizing thing, allowing your kids to have locks on doors. Like, we were a strict no lock policy in our house. No locks allowed.
No locks anywhere?
Although, did your, as grown-ups, like, did your parents have a lock
on
their
door? Yes, they had a lock on their door.
Okay. Ours did, but it wasn't functional. It was a door that, like, the lock just didn't really work. It was one of those little press ones, you know, the ones, those old school.
I mean, none of them really do.
That's just
interior door handles don't have very robust locks. Like, I think Bo's door has a lock on it right now, but like you can use your fingernail to open it.
Okay,
like
it's not fair. I was going to say, are you going to allow your kids to have locks in their doors? Not so much.
Like they don't really do anything, the locks.
Fair.
I think so. Yeah, I don't see it. Whatever.
And do you guys have a lock on your door?
Ours does too. But the boys know how to get into it.
Right.
They've known how to get into it since they were like toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I find it's a weird, eerie thing to do is to like offer up allowing your kids to have locks and doors. Because I'm like, I feel like you're just asking for trouble if you do that.
You think so?
Like allowing them to barricade themselves in their room.
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody, like if they had shut the door and wanted some privacy, I wouldn't enter without knocking.
Interesting.
You know, so I'm not just going to burst in. And like I said, the lock doesn't do much.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were barricaded in, I could very easily get in.
Yeah, that's fair. No, we were not allowed to have a lock on our door at all. Because the parents, they wanted to be able to have access to our rooms. We weren't even allowed to have boys in our rooms with the doors shut, not to mention just the lock.
I've heard that rule before.
It's always doors open.
Yep.
Nope. If you're up there, doors open.
I've heard of some houses where it gets so bad they take the doors off.
Oh, dear me.
And that, I think, like, people are entitled to a bit of privacy.
I think
so. Like, you should be able to get changed or have a conversation on the phone or, like, you know, just have a moment by yourself with the door shut.
Also, are you going to take the locks off the bathroom, too? Because if you don't have any privacy in your bedroom, you might just go to the bathroom and just...
No, we poop in the open in this house.
No, let me see you poop it!
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My wife, McKenna, likes country music. And she was listening to some country in the kitchen while she was baking yesterday. And this is how this song started. And my ears perked up because I was like, I know that one. So this is the beginning.
Yeah.
I was like, I definitely know that guitar lick.
Totally.
That's Rebel Rebel by David Bowie.
Yeah.
Rebel Rebel, it's on your dress.
But it wasn't a cover of Rebel Rebel. It was its own song that just took that lick.
Good girls that can't keep from falling for bad boys that their daddies don't like.
And I recently learned that this is called an interpolation.
Oh.
So it's not a cover.
No.
It doesn't sample the original song. It just takes pieces of it and makes a new song.
Okay.
And it's really big in country music.
Your own interpretation. Interesting.
Here's another one that I just heard recently because my dad was listening to some country. So you'll recognize this one.
She said, give me a dirt road, the window's down. You wanna get lost on the edge of town in a Chevrolet.
Nope.
Drift Away by the Doobie Brothers.
That's not right.
Which was then covered by Uncle Cracker. But this isn't a cover.
No.
This is a totally, they just took Chevrolet and rammed it in there where the word drift away was.
Okay.
So
strange.
That's what we're doing now, I guess.
I guess so.
And since it's country, of course, it was a truck brand.
Yeah.
But I mean, we could probably do this for other vehicles.
I'd say so.
I thought of this one. I drive a Kia on the road again. OnStar, how can I assist you?
Yeah.
That's really stupid, but
it's perfect.
It's no different than the Chevrolet song. How about
this is even dumber. So.
Yeah.
But I'm a Jeep. I'm on the off road.
That's a hit, Shauna. That's a certified hit right
really?
There.
Yeah, that one or this here.
Podcast.
I was talking to a friend about the Olympics in Calgary recently, and I joked and was like, if you don't know the year that the Olympics were in Calgary, you must be new.
It's like, yeah,
that needs to be part of the Calgary citizenship test. Like, everybody here knows the year that the Olympics were in.
I would think most Calgary. People in Canada should know that,
right?
No?
Yeah, right off 1988. For those of you who don't know that, okay, get out. Get out. But then I got laughing. I was like, I wonder what hypothetically could be on a Calgary citizenship test
to prove your Calgarian,
you're truly Calgarian, you know. And I got thinking about this, and I have some few ideas here.
Okay, can so, I answer these as you go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Please. Okay, so first, I mean, I already gave you the Olympics in Calgary took place what year?
88.
Name one iconic food or drink that was invented here.
The two that spring to mind are the Caesar
yes.
and ginger beef.
Yes. Yeah. Huge claims to fame. Everybody oh, yeah. here, you know, you need to know about that. Also, the
we'll
Shaft.
We'll let you know about it. The Shaft,
that's
too,
a bonus
hey?
One as well. Yep. The next one would be name a previous name or sponsor of the Saddle Dome.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Pengrowth.
Yes.
Pengrowth Saddle Dome.
Yep. Okay. That's great. There's also Canadian Airlines Saddle Dome.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Olympic, Saddle Dome when it opened, right?
Original. Yes. Mm-hmm. What's Stampede's slogan? Not yeehaw.
Yahoo.
Yahoo. Okay. That's another one we really tried to get. Do you remember Nenshi? He really tried to drill that into our heads.
Yeah. That was one of his big points.
Legend has it that this was found at the bottom of Socomi Lake.
A dead horse. That's a great one.
That's a good question. Right? That is a legend that everybody knows about. And then the last one, when you hear this, you got to know the dance. Okay.
I don't know the dance.
You don't know the
no,
dance?
No, I wouldn't know the steps to it.
Okay.
But I do know that that's like strictly a... like an Albertan thing, right?
It is.
The rest of the world doesn't really care about Cadillac Ranch like we do.
And that's one that a lot of people in Alberta don't realize that it's kind of exclusive to here.
Did we do a heritage moment on that?
We sure did. We did a whole thing about that. But yes, that is exclusive to Alberta. And here is the only way that when you hear that, everybody gets up and does that line dance. You go elsewhere in Canada, people are like, what in the Lord is happening?
This is a great concept. The Calgarian citizenship test.
Yeah.
I want to come up with some more. I really like the one about the dead horse in Socomi Lake.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about that.
Everyone
right?
knows about the dead horse, okay?
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
When we were flying out to Phoenix last week, I was sitting on the plane between my boys, Bo and Brigham.
Yep.
I was in the middle seat. Can't seat them together, or there would be an air marshal involved before the end of the flight.
For sure, yeah.
But we were waiting for the plane to taxi out and take off, and it was taking a little while. So we came up with a new game. Involving the Bluetooth headphones of other people.
Okay.
Because if you go to Bluetooth on your phone,
yep.
it'll show you all the devices that are available for pairing.
Right, yeah.
And you can just take over.
Yep.
You can just click and connect to somebody else's headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there getting ready to watch, I don't know, Mr. Deeds, whatever they've downloaded for the flight. And you hit them with some Lamb of God, is what we do. You take over their headphones, you turn it up a bit, and you get them with them.
The blood's on the wall,
that's
so
good.
You might as well just
and
admit it.
We call this game Lamb of Gotcha. Do you like that? You like that one?
You know, that's not one of your best, I've got to be honest.
Oh, I thought it was real strong.
I don't know. I mean...
Bo and Brigham were just killing themselves. Oh, so I was like, watch this. You'd see like Samsung earbuds or something. Click on that.
I do like those games on the plane. Mm-hmm.
And then I'd hit him. And I'd be like, a Lamb of God, I'm there.
A Lamb of Gotcha.
Lamb of Gotcha.
Lamb of Gotcha.
Someone's looking around. What the hell?
Her.
Who put the devil's music into my ears?
Dad?
I wanted to watch Mr. Deeds. You can do it at the beach too in the summer because everyone's got their Bluetooth speakers.
Yep.
You probably do it at the gym.
Yeah.
The only issue is, I think depending on which device it is, and if it comes with an app, you can sometimes see what phone is connected to it.
Yes.
And my phone says Andrew Beckler's iPhone.
Right,
so
they would be able to track you down.
No, they'd say to the flight attendant, is there an Andrew Beckler on this flight? Because they just...
It's interesting because I also know a lot of speakers that have, you can't just connect. You have to, like, there's a password and stuff with most of them. So I'm shocked that you had a lot of Bluetooth that had no passwords.
Some, there was like a code that came up that I had to enter. Or, you know, I think some you have to hit the pairing button or whatever. Yeah, but a lot of them just send that signal out all the time.
It's amazing.
And you can hijack those headphones.
Well, we always talk about doing that for airdropping as well. Like, this happened to me recently on the plane, too. And I accept the airdrops. I don't care because you can't tell what it is. And I'm like, it could be a wiener, but I'm going to go anyway and let it go. Let's see.
Someone at the airport tried to get me with that, but it looked like it might have been a malware.
Oh,
so I didn't click it.
Okay, fair.
Because I was like, that looks really suspicious.
Somebody wrote me a nice note. I was expecting full out dong, and instead it was this note that just said, have a nice flight. And I was like, okay, see, not dong, but...
Sending someone dong is definitely assault. hitting them with Lamb of God is more of a gray area, okay. I think.
Yeah.
It's more of a borderline thing.
Fair. It's Lamb thrilling, though.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Airdropping someone a dong is definitely not allowed.
Nope.
But you know what is allowed? Did I ever show you that weird latex sex mask that I got on Amazon?
Yep.
Where the person, like the model wearing it, you can just see their eyes behind the holes in the mask and they look terrified.
Totally, yeah.
You can send that to anyone you want.
Yeah, you can.
That's not illegal.
Yeah, well, we talked about that, right? Because you were talking about doing that.
Well, I used to do it to McKenna during COVID when she would have to show a server or a hostess her
ID or
her COVID immunization papers or whatever.
Yeah.
Right when she would go to show them, I'd hit her with the sex
really
mask.
Creepy sex mask. Yeah.
So maybe I'll make that the photo for this today's episode if
Perfect.
I can.
You might as well. Really.
And then you're free to take a screenshot of it, and then you can airdrop that to people, and you're not breaking any laws.
Yep.
But it's super funny.
I could also send you a photo of the man thongs that I bought for my boyfriend. Maybe when I finally hit him with those, I'll.
Like him wearing them?
No, not him wearing them. But the thongs, they're ridiculous looking. You could send that to somebody too. You want this? Yeah.
It's going to raise an eyebrow, right?
Absolutely.
Why on earth am I getting this airdrop?
That's it, yeah.
And then you look around and try to stereotype who did it.
As you said, though, it's tough because, I think a lot of the times people can trace it back to you. You have to make sure, your phone doesn't have a label on it. That's for sure.
And mine does. It has my full name. So
mine says sent from Shauna's bat phone, so...
That's what your email signature says.
Mm-hmm. But my phone, I thought I did too. And it's called, it's just Shauna's iPhone.
Because it'll be linked to your Apple ID probably. So that's tough.
We can do that though.
Again, sex mask not illegal.
Nope.
Like, what of it? Yeah.
Also, before I forget, the out of bed banger for this morning. Steve Earle, Copperhead Road.
Yes. Because people have been asking what the banger is every day.
Yeah. So if you want to add that to your pump up music. Also still working on that Spotify playlist for the out of bed banger, so we'll get that up and running shortly.
The problem is we've done the out of bed banger for over a year now.
Yes.
Which is like 200 some bangers. And I'm even having trouble remembering if we did certain songs.
Totally. I know. But we can start now and then just go from now, right? So
we could. Someone this morning was like, love Copperhead Road. The other thing you're missing is Radar Love by Golden Earring. And I was like, geez, did we play that as an out of bed banger? Because that'd be a good one.
Oh, I feel like we might have.
I think we might have too, but
whatever. Anyway.
That's the spirit of it anyway.
It is.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast is brought to you by Shane Holmes. Shane Holmes offers affordable customization. I was one of the do-it-yourself forums I'm part of on Reddit.
Yeah.
Someone posted this kitchen renovation they did this morning, and it was
bad.
Atrocious, Shauna. Like, they took this old, old kitchen, and they said, I think $35,000 or $40,000 updating it, but they only updated it to, like, mid-90s. So everything looks wrong in this. It's still super dated, and like things aren't centered, not a play, and like the lighting is like it's like a morgue.
And they were proud of this, or was this a joke?
Oh, they were sharing it. They were just getting ripped apart.
Oh yeah.
But I was like, these are some of the mistakes you can make if you just go it yourself.
Yep.
You don't have a great eye for design, and that's why if you work with Shane Holmes, I mean, they have a team of people.
They do.
Who handle this stuff for you, or can at least give you a little bit of guidance,
yep.
So you don't end up in this situation.
Or, I mean, maybe they just, you know what, if that's your style, then go with it, but at least you can consult with some people, and they can maybe give you the heads up that it might not be for everyone, you know?
I'm sure they would be like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure this is what you want?
Yeah.
So... I mean, we've been to their showroom where you can go through and pick all your finishings and everything. It's super cool.
It's really cool.
Probably, I would say, maybe the most exciting part about the whole building process.
Yeah.
Even when we did our renovation, there was like They're exciting parts and not exciting. Like picking out your finishings, like picking out your flooring and stuff is exciting, right? That's the exciting part.
Yep.
Picking out your lighting fixtures is a ton of fun.
Totally.
It was actually a friend of this show, Shelly, over at Signature Lighting, who hooked us up with all of our lighting, so that was really cool.
Awesome.
But that's the fun part of the reno.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that with Shane Holmes. ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was reading a bit about that sad story from Pembroke Meadows where the man barricaded himself inside the house.
Yeah, I was gone when that all went down, but I was getting some like updates through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a wild story, man.
So there was a 30-hour standoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about like, who is responsible for negotiating in those scenarios? And I always think about how tough that job would be, right? Whoever the negotiation person is.
For the police?
Yeah, they tried for 30 hours to de-escalate the situation. So trying to communicate with mm-hmm. the gentleman inside his house and trying to, again, de-escalate. And I was just like, that is an insane skill to have and to try and de-escalate. You can actually take courses to de-escalate situations like this as well.
And I mean, hostage negotiation and all that stuff. Like, what an intense job. You're right.
Yeah. That would be one of those jobs where you just think about that. You're like, oh man, that would be a really, really tough one. Mm. But you can take courses just in terms of self-defense, even to de-escalate situations in your normal life too, which I always thought was an interesting thing to do because that's a good skill to have. To be able to de-escalate situations, whether it's at work or even in your family life, or to be able to calm someone down like that. Like, that's an art.
I honestly think, Shauna, that I would be very good at that job
mm-hmm.
because, well, here's my main resume entry that I think qualifies. I've never been in a fight.
Yeah.
You got to think, I'm a dude from Saskatchewan who has loud opinions that he likes to share. I used to be a bit of a boozer.
Yeah.
I've never been in a fight because I've always been able to talk my way out of those situations.
Totally.
And, you know, even recently we've had some run-ins with people. And whereas, like, my wife, McKenna, likes to escalate. Like, she'll, whatever energy you bring, she'll meet you and bring it higher.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm usually able to, like, calm things down a bit.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think I'd be pretty good at it, too, just because I know how to speak to people.
Yeah,
not that I've ever been, like, you know, somebody to rile people up necessarily, but I've always noticed, even within my family, my sister and mom, for example, they tend to butt heads quite often, and it's one of those things where they will escalate to each other, and I've learned how to kind of speak to them to calm them back down in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of situations, even with them, with other people and stuff, where I'm like, no, if you word things a certain way, you can calm people down versus riling them up further,
for sure,
right?
And if you can kind of read their emotions and know
how to speak to them that way,
which buttons not to press.
Yep.
That maybe you'd also be a good diplomat in that sense.
There you go.
You know, if two countries are going at it and they mm-hmm. gotta try to come to a compromise,
but especially like
send you in.
I mean, living downtown and stuff, right? Like, knowing how to de-escalate a situation, I think that might be a course that more people should be able to take or should take.
I agree. Yeah. If you don't have that skill naturally, then.
Because escalate, you don't want things to escalate, you know?
No.
You don't want to. You want a deep breath.
Unless you think you can win, then maybe, I don't know.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
My brother told me this funny story that he heard from his dental hygienist. She said she and her husband were in India recently,
mm-hmm.
and her husband got deli belly. In her words.
Hilarious.
So he had a bad bum.
Yeah.
He had sick bum in India.
Never heard deli belly before, but that's a great term.
So funny, man. I'm keeping that one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the hotel they were staying at, she went to the front desk to try to explain what was happening, and they said, oh, white sickness.
mm-hmm.
And they pulled out an IV bag.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
They sent someone from the hospital to administer the IV to this guy. And apparently, this isn't uncommon in India.
Well, clearly not. If they have they have protocol in place. They had their own IV. Oh,
and they call
Lord.
It white sickness.
That's hilarious.
Like, they see a white traveler checking in, and they're like, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Get the IV bags ready.
Yep.
He might come down with a case of deli belly.
Do we still have some extras?
And then they have, like, someone on staff who's authorized to administer an IV.
That's hilarious. It's like how in Vegas you can get those IVs for when you're super hungover, but this is even more impressive.
Because the spice in India attacks someone's
white people
butt.
That can't handle the spice.
and Shauna podcast.
I was gifted a spider plant yesterday, and my friend was like, "Don't worry, you basically can't kill these." I was like, "Well, excuse me."
Disrespect.
He's a bit of a plant snob, though. He really is. And these are very real plant snobs. And I can't believe that we've never discussed plant snobs in the past, because
I couldn't either. Because, I mean, you went through a phase where you were calling yourself a plant,
I was a plant mom.
Yes. You had lots of plants. Do you not have those plants anymore?
No, I had to downsize because my place is much smaller than it used to be. So, and then I killed a few of them because I went away in the summer and I gave up on plant momery.
I didn't realize how many plants McKenna has. They just have always just kind of blended in with the decor in our house. And then the boys and I a while back wanted to use them in a video. And I was like, man, there are a lot of plants in this house. So
yeah.
I don't think I appreciated the work that went into taking care of those. Because it does make the house nice.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different types of plants. And people really do judge you based on the type of plant you have. Because some are a lot harder to take care of than others. And
I went through our archives, too. And we have never done plant snobs.
I know.
If you
crazy.
Can believe that. Because it seems like it's right there.
I know. So. It's right there. But here we are.
That's far too needy a plant for a rookie like you. Why not start with a nice cactus? They're the goldfish of the plant world.
I'm sorry, is that a half-blood plant? Only pure-breed plants for me.
Well, I have so many plants, my apartment has actually been classified as an arboretum rather than a residence.
I'm sorry, did you buy that plant from a big box store? Those plants are not free-range. If you get close to them, you can hear their tears.
Yes, well, as a plant parent myself, based on the condition of these plants, I think you should have your children taken away.
I'm not a gardener. I'm a horticulturalista. I can make you cafe au lily or begonia pachinos.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was driving past one of the high schools here in Calgary as it was letting out the other day, and there were some students pulling out of the parking lot in a Ford F-350 Super Duty.
Holy and I was like, hell.
Now, this is almost certainly a
parent. Do you win the lottery or?
Must be the parents' vehicle, I'm thinking. Unlikely that it's the kids. But that is an outrageous vehicle to drive to high school.
That is.
I mean, first, because they can cost well over $100,000, right? Depending on your trim level.
Yep.
Second, because a truck like that is typically driven by people who are doing some serious hauling or towing.
Yeah.
Like if you're pulling around a skid steer.
You're hauling and towing your friends in the back, obviously. That's
so.
What you're
all
doing in high school. All the boys.
You're towing the boys.
All the boys. They're in the back. Yeah, get in the back.
Skid steers, dump trailers.
Yeah.
If you're pulling horses around, typically these are the people who drive a Ford F-350.
Giant ass RV.
Not trying to get back from luncheon time for math. That's not what that vehicle is for.
It's amazing.
I drove an 86 Honda Accord in high school. This truck could eat that truck.
I didn't have a vehicle in high school.
Could eat that vehicle. You didn't have one at all?
No. I got really lucky when my dad would let me borrow the old Buick LeSabre.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
this truck
fun.
Could eat both of our vehicles
Absolutely.
And still be hungry after.
Yep.
The whole thing is just so Albertan, isn't it? That you would see high school students in a Ford F-350 Super
Duty?
Yeah,
checks out for sure. Yeah.
It's kind of like when I had food delivered by someone in an F-250. I was like, you're not making any money here, are you? Driving that thing around to do deliveries. There probably wouldn't be too many cities in the world where you would see an F-350 Super Duty in the student parking lot.
No, probably not.
This might be one of the few.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the rural like towns, farm communities, that kind of thing, right?
I was going to say, I think it's more common rurally.
Yeah.
Actually, I think there are some pretty wicked vehicles in the student parking lot rurally. Because
yes.
I know a few farm kids that bought a vehicle and started fixing it up well before they could drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like by the time they turned 16, they had already been working on their vehicle for years and it was beautiful.
Or, you know, you're working on the farm, you're running late, the truck is still there, the work truck, right? And you're like, oh, I got to get to school. There's probably some horses in tow sometimes in the parking lot too. Got to get to school.
There's
horses will just have to hang out in the back there.
Horses just sitting in the back of the trailer while you're in class.
Yep.
Alberta.
Yeah, it's Alberta.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
An Alberta heritage moment.
We've spoken of the origin of many Alberta places before, and to continue with that trend, today we set our sights on Lethbridge. Lethbridge is Alberta's third largest city after, of course, Calgary and Edmonton.
The area was originally occupied by the Blackfoot people, and they called Lethbridge Sikukatoki, which means Black Rock. This was in reference to the coal they found on the land there.
When Europeans originally settled in the area, it was in relation to the whiskey trade, and trading posts were set up in and around there as a result. And due to the nature of that business, the Northwest Mounted Police also set up shop there in 1874.
That same year, the first coal mine was opened by Nicholas Sharon, erecting this mine on the west side of the Old Man River. In 1882, a second mine was opened by Sir Alexander Galt, right across from the first. The mining trade quickly became the main focus of this new settlement, and as a result, Lethbridge's original name was Coal Banks.
Galt owned the Northwestern Coal and Navigation Company and eventually got the name Coal Banks changed to Lethbridge. The reason? That was the name of his company's first president. Mr. Galt was known to entice investors to his company with the promise of naming streets and towns in their honor. So, William Lethbridge got this very town named after him.
With all this coal production, the need for railway transportation arose, and a new line from Lethbridge to Dunmore was built in 1885. At its peak during the First World War, Lethbridge's coal mining industry produced more than 1 million tons of coal a year and employed 2,000 miners.
Lethbridge was incorporated as a town in 1890 and a city in 1906. After the war, it experienced an economic slump. Oil and natural gas production overtook coal, and Lethbridge's last mine closed in 1957.
Eventually, farming led to more economic growth, and that, coupled with the College and University of Lethbridge, has created a bustling city in Lethbridge once again.
This has been an Alberta Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative. X92.9, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.